God's Mission Matters, a monthly podcast that will help you engage more faithfully and effectively in God's mission in the world.
The tip for this month, just be there.
Parables that matter. Long-term mission workers telling stories about mission in their own words.
Listen to a story from Doug Welch, mission co-worker in Congo and Malawi for 18 years, and currently the Associate Director of Presbyterian World Mission.
My name is Doug Welch. Served in mission service with my wife and family in Congo and Malawi from 1977 to 1998. And when we lived in Mbujimayi, Congo, we found that people were very friendly and enjoyed being together. We would have people come by our house and spend time with us, and they would come and sit. And we always thought there was some reason that they were coming to sit with us. Frequently, Kazembo would come to our house and would sit, and we never found out why he would come by to sit with us. And so many times it was frustrating to have him show up and sit down and not say anything, or perhaps to stop and look at a magazine or a photo album on the table. As we were learning the local language, Chiluba, we learned about a word called kusombesha. It was a word that we understood its root to be kusomba, which meant to sit. And we understood that when you put a sha on the end of the word, it meant to cause to sit. Kusombesha was to cause someone to sit. Well, it doesn't really refer to causing someone to physically sit down, but it has to do with visiting, of spending time with people. So as we understood and learned that word in the language, we understood that Kazembala was coming not to bother us, but to come to sit with us, to spend time with us. And we learned that there's no other expectation other than just to be present. You didn't need to talk. You didn't need to entertain or find out anything. You could go about your business. And we learned from that experience how to kusombesha others. And we learned that we didn't need to do something. We could just be, and all that was all that was expected.
International AIDS Ministry announces the new Orphan and Vulnerable Children's Wrap, designed by Presbyterian women in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This colorful 6-foot piece of fabric depicts through 8 pictures what a child in Africa needs in order to grow up healthy in body, mind, and spirit. For more information about how to receive a wrap, go to www.peaceusa.org/AIDS-international. Matters of the Word, the Scripture teaching us valuable mission practices.
Hunter Farrell, a Presbyterian USA mission co-worker in Congo for 5 years, in Peru for 10 years, and currently the director of Presbyterian World Mission, reflects on how Scripture teaches us to just be there. Hunter writes,
as Jesus engaged in God's mission in first century Israel, he took time to be with the people. Before he began to preach and teach and heal, he spent 30 years with them, laughing with them in their joy and crying with them in their sorrow. He understood the complexities of life, language, and family relationships in Nazareth. His feet were as dusty as everyone else's, and thus he was able to teach God's word in the form of parables that spoke powerfully to people from the context of their everyday life. 2 disappointed disciples fleeing Jerusalem for Emmaus after the chaos of Jesus' death spoke to the power of the missionary who had taken the time to be with the people, who understood deeply their religious traditions and spiritual longings. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? Luke 24:32. In Luke 10, Jesus clearly favors Mary's behavior over her sister Martha's. As Martha busied herself with the tasks of doing, Mary chose the better course of being with Jesus. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." As an overachieving, time-conscious American, I identify with Martha. Yet Jesus reminds me of the importance of just being. On short-term mission trips, what would happen if I set aside my need to do just long enough to really get to know the people to whom I've been sent and follow their lead into the doing? What if I just built relationships with the people? By setting aside the tasks of mission long enough to truly be with the people, Jesus started a movement that continues to grow and change the world 20 centuries later. His secret? He focused first and foremost on being the message. He developed deep and meaningful relationships with the people to whom God sent him and embodied the love and forgiveness that God intended for them. How would our mission work be changed if we did the same? The story of Martha and Mary was placed by Luke at the end of a chapter all about mission. Luke tells us about how Jesus sent 70 people in pairs to prepare the way for him, how Jesus lamented about unrepentant cities, and how the 70 came back with great news about their mission. Then we read the parable of the Samaritan that showed compassion, and it seems Martha is doing exactly what Luke has been teaching us, doing the mission. Why then does Jesus speak such harsh words to her? Jesus' words to Martha are often perceived as if Jesus were scolding Martha, but Jesus was liberating her. By redefining her concept of mission and inviting her to just be with him, she would be free of worries and distractions. Mary let go of the tasks and enjoyed Jesus' presence. By setting aside the tasks of mission and enjoying God's presence through the least of these, we might be living the better part. How might we be changed if we were to just be there?
The PCUSA Campaign for Fair Food is urging major grocery stores, restaurants, and food service corporations to address the exploitation in the fields of their Florida tomato suppliers. Contributing is as easy as sending a postcard to your local grocery store. Visit pcusa.org/fairfood to learn how.
Short Mission Matters. People of God telling stories from their short-term mission experience.
Listen to a story from Rob Four, young adult volunteer in Argentina in 2005 and 2006.
Immediately before my year of service in the YAV program, the Young Adult Volunteer Program, I worked in the for-profit sector as a project director for a media research firm. I would say some phrases that could have described my job at that point would be something like details-oriented, project schedules, datelines, and deadlines. The work was highly predictable, measurable, and I functioned fairly well in that capacity because I liked the feeling of accomplishment when a project that I had directed was successfully completed. Even though I really liked my job and I felt various degrees of success, I really felt that I was being pushed and called by God to do something different, something else. During this time, I became familiar with the notion of vocation, the idea that what one does professionally can be more than just a job, it can be a calling. After several months of painfully wrestling with this idea, I landed in the Young Adult Volunteer Program. And through the program's discernment process, I ended up in being placed in Buenos Aires, Argentina. In Argentina, my primary place of service was a community development center in an area of Greater Buenos Aires called Barrio San Pablo. When I first started serving at my placement there, I was just so excited to start serving these people in this kind of poor community in the global south that I just dove right in and started to make assessments and judgments about what I thought the people in the community needed. After a few brief conversations, I thought that as an outsider, I would have the insight to let these people know what I could do for them, how I would best be of use to them. I determined that what the people of the community, especially the young people, needed were English tutoring sessions because they all seemed to be studying English at the time. So I figured, hey, I speak English, I can teach English. I came with the idea to create a tutoring group that I would facilitate with the young people of the community. And after what first seemed to be a lot of excitement from all the young people, my ideas kind of quickly floundered because no one would show up to my groups. And people would kept saying, oh, mañana, mañana. And in English, that directly translates to tomorrow. But what I quickly realized is mañana just means not today. I clearly remember feeling a sense of failure, questioning why I left my job, my friends, all of the comforts of life in the U.S. to come to this far-off country and just feel completely useless. After about a week or so of kind of feeling sorry for myself, I kind of had this realization, this moment of clarity that I didn't really know any of the people in my community. I assumed a lot of things about them, but I didn't really know them. Who were they? Who were their families? What were their stories? I didn't know any of these things. So I decided what I'm going to do is just show up every day and just be with the people and get to know them, create relationships with them. This new outlook opened doors that I never would have imagined possible. After kind of creating these relationships with the people in the community, I got to know their interests, their passions, their struggles. I would try to match my skills up with whatever they were wanting to learn, or whatever they were struggling with, or any way I could help out and just kind of be there for them. And I came to think of myself as kind of a flexible resource, somebody that, like I said, like anything they needed help with, if I could do it, I would try my best to help them with that. So what ended up happening was I kind of had a whole host of different roles I played at the community center, some of which included a teacher, a friend, a counselor, a resume consultant, a computer technician, a French tutor, a guy who spun the little kids around in circles and circles and circles to the point of nausea, a chess teacher, a confidant, and of course, an amazingly awkward soccer player. And when I returned to the U.S., I came back with a very different perspective on accomplishment and what it means to have a, quote, successful life. I found it somewhat difficult at first to put these newly gained insights into practice, because the reality of it is, in this culture, we tend to value measurable results, focus on profits rather than people. We tend to value authoritative leadership styles. And even though I still continue to struggle with these lessons I learned in Argentina, I am forever and eternally grateful to the people of Barrio San Pablo, who taught me to value relationships above results, and who also taught me that accompaniment is much more satisfying than accomplishment.
You heard the stories of Doug Welch and Rob Four and how they learned to just be there. Tell us how you learned to just be there. Visit www.pcusa.org/mission-crossroads and post your story. And as you engage in God's mission, remember that you don't have to accomplish anything, and being there is enough. To support PCUSA mission workers, visit www.pcusa.org/mission.
God's Mission Matters is a monthly podcast produced by Presbyterian World Mission, a ministry of the General Assembly Mission Council of the Presbyterian Church USA.